And we welcome you in live today from Kessler Field as the final chapter of the 2013 season will be written over the course of the next 3 hours. Monmouth getting set to take on Duquesne for the 8th time between the two schools. Monmouth with a 5-2 overall advantage in the series. The final chapter of the 2013 season for this team and the final chapter for many of these players as it is senior day here in West Long Branch, and 16 players just introduced here to the home crowd. Tevrin Brandon, Dave Demersian, Mike Hunchak, Kyle McGuire, Pete Nagy, Justin Pandorf, Elijah Phillips, Andrew Sutton, Clark Coe, Frank Foreman, Brandon Maxwell, Mike McLafferty, Gary Onakuzi, Josh Patterson, Eric Spillane, and Jameson Zacharias. With 500 already a lock, Monmouth today tries to lock in a winning season for the first time in the last several years. MU coming into this one at 6-5 overall. They take on a Duquesne team who is 6-4. A cool, blustery afternoon with a solid breeze coming across the field out of the west. It should be a game time temperature kickoff right around 50, but with the wind, it certainly feels a little bit cooler than that. Hi again, everyone, and welcome for the final time on this 2013 season to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network. Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti, our good buddy, is Ray Malvaspina back in the studios of the Shore Sports Network. We broadcast today on a variety of ways, 1160, 1310 a.m., ShoreSportsNetwork.com, and of course, right here on GoMU Hawks. It's been since 2008 that Monmouth has had a winning season, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Last year, a 5-up, 5-down campaign. Monmouth trying to get themselves that elusive 7th victory and send themselves off into the Big South on a high note. We take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we preview this one a little bit more in detail. The Dukes coming in 6-4 overall, 4-2, and part of the conference championship in the NEC. They, however, will not go to the FCS playoffs. That honor going to Sacred Heart. We're back right after this quick 60-second timeout. You're listening to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network. And our pregame show today is presented by First Atlantic Federal Credit Union. Visit FAFCU.com to learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Our national anthem coming up here, so we'll have to step out for another quick timeout. But again, to reset the scene here, Monmouth at 6-5, taking on 6-4 Duquesne. Hawks trying to lock up their first winning season since 2008. We're back right after this quick 90-second timeout. You're listening to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network. Well, finally feels a little bit like football weather. We have had really nothing but good weather during the course of this season. As we mentioned in our open, we might get up to just about 50. Right now, 45 degrees. Winds are out of the northwest, and a pretty solid breeze coming across the field from the corner end zone to our left and to the corner end zone to our right. So that will certainly play a role in the football game here today. We're about 6 minutes away from kickoff and a good opportunity to kind of look first at the opponent for today. Jerry Schmidt, the head coach of the Dukes. He is in his 14th season overall as a head coach, 9th season here at Duquesne. And Eddie, as we take a look at this team, it's very different than the team that we've seen over the course of the last couple of years, mainly because they're missing their main guy that has been kind of the de facto number one option offensively, Larry McCoy, graduating last year. But this is a Duquesne team which in the course of the last 3 seasons, co-champions in the Northeast Conference 2011 and this year. So it looks like Duquesne really turning the corner in terms of being a year-in, year-out power in the Northeast Conference.
Yeah, Matt, you're 100% right. It's weird to look at the Dukes roster and not see Larry McCoy's name, not only there, but all over their stat sheet. And Coach Schmidt has kind of rebuilt this team into more of a passing team. They are one of the leading teams in the Northeast Conference in throwing the football, in yards per game. They average over 230 yards a game throwing it. They're not a good running team, but what they are and what has been their calling card is they're a very good defensive football team. They have a lot of talent on that side of the football. But like you said, when these two teams get together, it's normally a knockdown, old-school smash-mouth game with two potent running attacks. Today, we won't see that, and it's kind of weird. It's a windy, late November day, and we could see the football flying all over Mammoth Stadium today.
Crazy to think, and you talk about the difference in philosophy. Dylan Buechel is the quarterback for this team. Buechel is a redshirt freshman quarterback from McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, 6'3", 176 pounds. Not real big, but his numbers on the year are really, to be honest, quite staggering. 203 out of 346. We'll do a quick quarterback comparison. He has thrown for 11 touchdowns, been intercepted 14 times. That has been a problem. 59% percentage on the completion side for over 2,300 yards. Now, I say that only because his number is maybe not necessarily staggering, but the difference between him throwing the football and them running the football, Duquesne, their leading rusher, Ryan Hose, the starting tailback, just 346 yards on the ground. That tells you how much the emphasis is on the pass game.
And we see a lot of teams nowadays, Matt, more apt to throw the football. It's kind of the in vogue thing to do. But even when teams go to run it, they normally have more success than averaging just 3 yards a carry. That is all Duquesne is getting. They get just over 100 yards per game on the ground. And they've kind of spread their carries through a few different guys with no one really standing out as that main guy. You mentioned Ryan Ho, who actually played well in the past behind Larry McCoy. Now, as the guy, hasn't been able to have the same success.
Meanwhile, for Mammoth, just to do a quick little comparison, for Brandon Hill, his numbers 163 of 292, completion percentage just about 56%. He has thrown for 2,078 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions, just about 189 yards per game, where Buechel is about 235. Mammoth, certainly a team this year that has been dictated by the run, and the numbers certainly play that out. Julian Hayes, last week, went over 1,000 yards for the season, just the third Mammoth running back to do that in the school's now 21-year history. He's at 1,067, and a good opportunity today for him to join the company. KB Asante, we're talking about. He comes in with 951 yards. That has been a dynamic combination for the Mammoth team with those two guys.
Yeah, when you look at all-time Mammoth history and running backs, they haven't had many go over 1,000 yards, and they've only had three up until right now. One of those guys, Julian Hayes, did it this season. They can add to that number today if KB Asante is able to have, I'd say, an average half for some of the games that we've seen him do, which would make it four guys all-time that have done it. These two would join David Sinisi and Chris Reed. To be honest, and hearing you say Brandon Hill's numbers, though, pretty shocking that he ended up with the numbers he did after the slow start. He's been better taking care of the football, and a large part of that, Matt, has been because of that two-headed running back duo.
Julian Hayes, in just three seasons' worth of work so here at Mammoth, today capping off his third year, has rushed for 2,526 yards on 610 attempts, averaging about 4.1 per carry. That is number two all-time already for this Mammoth team, right behind David Sinisi, who I don't think anyone will catch in the near future. Sinisi over 5,000 yards in his illustrious four-year career. Meanwhile, the coin toss just took place. Duquesne won it and did defer, so Mammoth will receive. And our coin toss today is presented by Coke Zero. The Hawks get a taste of forward progress, and so can you with Coca-Cola Zero, the only drink to combine real Coke taste and zero calories. So grab one now and taste forward progress with Coca-Cola Zero. Enjoy everything. Our injury report today presented by Barnabas Health. Premier healthcare one click away at barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary. The same two names carried over for much of the season. The two defensive tackles for Mammoth, Demetrius Smith and Eric Masick, both out for the game today. Pretty much everyone else is available, and you would think for a lot of these guys, they know whether you're a senior, Eddie, who might be playing their last ever football game in your career today, or even an underclassman trying to send yourself into the offseason on a positive note. If you can play today, if you can walk, you're going to try and play.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. And talking to some of the coaches during the week, they alluded to that as well, that it's all hands on deck, obviously, this afternoon. Hopefully see a lot of those seniors that we heard mentioned in our pregame that were honored earlier. We'll see them get on the field today. The goal still, obviously, win the football game. I know you said it earlier, with a win, Mammoth finishes with a winning record, 7-5, in their most challenging schedule to date in all the years that the Hawks have been playing football. That's huge motivation, and that's my key word of the day, Matt, motivation. Who's more motivated, Monmouth to go to 7-5 or Duquesne to end this NEC co-championship season on a winning record? A
lot of respect between the two coaches. We talked about Jerry Schmidt, who has put Duquesne on a good path to success. Kevin Callahan, of course, the only coach that Monmouth has ever known, 120-96 overall, looking for win number 121 on the day here today. The ball has already fallen off the tee a couple of times for the Duquesne kicker, number 73, Austin Crimmins, who is a redshirt freshman out of Edensburg, Pennsylvania. So he will call in one of his coverage guys, Brian Palmer, to hold the football. Back deep for MU, Tevron Brandon and also LaVon Cheney. This kick will be with the wind. And we are set here for football on a Saturday afternoon in late November. Short wobbly kick will bounce in front of Brandon, roll back into the end zone, and it will come out for a touchback. Took a bounce around the 12 and kind of skipped past Brandon. So here comes the Monmouth offense. Brandon Hill, the 6'5", 230-pound UMass transfer, getting the start here again today. In the backfield, it will be Julian Hayes. The wide receiving corps will come out today with Neil Sterling and Lamar Davenport. Up front, the fifth-year senior tight end. Good one. Mike McLafferty, number 8. It will be up front. The familiar line, the tackles, Brandon Maxwell and Josh Patterson, the two fifth-year guys that bookend the inside guys, Peter Ireland and Reese Johnson, the guards, and the fifth-year senior center, Mike Hunchek. Now on first down and 10 for MU from their own 25-yard line, Hill will flash it to the outside, get it to Neil Sterling with a quick flare pass, and Sterling will move it forward to the 28-yard line for a gain of about 3, set up a 2nd and 7. Jake Morrow, number 43, also starting the game here today at the H-back spot. Luis Quintana and Reggie Ireland, the two defensive ends. Zach Zidian is the defensive tackle. The linebacking core, Kristen Kuntz and Dorian Bell. Bell, an Ohio State transfer, one of the very best in the Northeast Conference. He's actually now limping off the field. Aaron Reed and Sam Martello, the two inside linebackers. Devin Williams and Nick Floyd, the corners. Chris Johnson, the University of Florida transfer. And Rich Pikarski are the two safeties. We'll call it 2nd down and 7. We are up and running here just 20 seconds in to our opening quarter. Hill from the shotgun, split wide receiver set, tight end to the right. More of an old-fashioned pro-style look right here with an offset eye formation. Morrow and Hayes in the backfield. Hill walks up to the line, resets the play. Going to give it to Hayes here off the right side. Tough sledding to the 30-yard line. Tripped up and taken down there by Martello, the sophomore middle linebacker. This is a Duquesne defense that coming into the game today, when you look at their numbers, they do give up not a whole lot of yards. They are among the top teams at the FCS level. Total offense, about 316 yards per contest. They've been consistently a top 10 team in many categories this year, including overall defense, both scoring and yardage. Three wide receiver set as Sumlin checks into the game. Hill hanging in the pocket, wanting to throw, looking over the middle. Dangerous throw to Lamar Davenport, broken up by Nick Floyd. And on a quick three and out, Monmouth will punt the football away.
And Matt, that time the Dukes brought pressure right up the middle in Brandon Hill's face. The Monmouth O-line did a good job picking it up, but the coverage on the back end from Duquesne was excellent, and Brandon had nowhere to go with the football.
Devin Rahming awaiting the kick here of Ryan Moore, who will punt. Moore reassuming the chores here, seemingly, with a little bit of a quicker trigger. No pressure from Duquesne. Moore hangs this one into the wind, gets a bounce of the 45-yard line, and now a nice roll down about the 36. It'll be down by Kyle McGuire, and we'll get our first look at the Duquesne offense. Dylan Beekle, the freshman quarterback, 6'3", 176 yards. We mentioned his numbers, 11 touchdowns on the year, has thrown 14 interceptions. This is a Monmouth secondary that has gotten better during the course of the year and certainly better at taking advantage of the turnovers and the interceptions.
Yeah, they've been ball hawking the second half of this season, and the improved play of that secondary has been a big reason why the Monmouth defense overall has better numbers this season.
Ethan Dorsey and Ryan Ho, the fullback-tailback combination. Similar type look here that Monmouth would operate from the shotgun, and the receiving corps splitting themselves. Ho into the open field, 50, 45, 40, and will get pushed out of bounds inside the 40-yard line, about the 33 in Monmouth territory. Quick start here for Duquesne. Ho, who came in with a long of 25, he will eclipse that mark on that first carry.
Little misdirection. They bring the receiver in motion. They fake the reverse, and Ho goes off tackle formation right, and he finds a crease, and he's able to pick up a big yardage play for Duquesne's first play from scrimmage.
Split back set. Gianni Carter, the Montana State transfer, in motion. Ho will get it this time off the left side. Work his way down to the 30-yard line, maybe the 29. We talked about his numbers coming in. Just 346 yards, only an average of under 35 yards per game. He's maybe eclipsed out already on a couple of carries. Make it second down and six. We'll run through the Monmouth defensive lineman in just a second.
Yeah, 3.1 yards per carry this season. Hasn't had really easy sledding about things, but here starting off really good. Matt, big yardage on first down, and now picking up 4 yards here.
Split wide receiver set again on second down and six. Beekle wants to throw. Nope, draw play to Ho. Up the middle, he's got another big hole. He will have the first down to the 20-yard line, where it'll be first and 10 for Duquesne. Darnell Leslie, Pat O'Hara, the defensive ends for Monmouth, Josh Samanowitz and Andrew Jerzynski, the inside guys. The linebacking court, John Sikowski and Dave Demersion. Outside, Gary Onacuzzi, the inside man, Tevron Brandon and Joe Johnson at the corners, Andrew Sutton and Clark Coe getting the start at the two safety spots. Roaming as the single receiver, near sideline to the right, one-on-one press coverage from Brandon, Gianni Carter up top, formation to the left. Play action. Beekle in trouble. And we'll throw that one away. Darnell Leslie applying the pressure from the backside. Make it second down and 10.
That Monmouth starting lineup that Matt just mentioned is presented by our friends at the Boathouse Bar and Grill in Belmar. Your spot for college and NFL football all season long. And my official post-game party tonight. I'm bringing the family there. Senior day tradition.
Sounds good. Trips off to the right. Tight end back to the left. The tight end, Kyle Schumann, the 6'5", 245-pound junior. Third wide receiver into the game, Dave Thomas, speedy little sophomore, 5'8", 176 pounds. Has 43 catches on the year. Play clock down to two. Draw play again here for Ho. He will run his way off to the right side, get taken down by Jerzynski at the 16-yard line. It will bring up a third down and just about six for Duquesne.
We talked about, Matt, in our pregame, the fact that both teams want to throw the football in this game. Monmouth a little better on the ground than the Dukes, but the win this afternoon, I think, could potentially wreak havoc on the passing game. I mentioned that, third and six here. Obvious passing down. You got to watch screen and draw, however.
Noel Oduho has checked in. Fourth wide receiver now for Duquesne. Three white and one to the left. They'll go in that direction to Oduho, who will drop the football and set up now a fourth and six. Good coverage on the outside. Zach Irizarry there to help kind of close things down for Monmouth. He bounced off the line from his defensive end spot. Now on fourth and six, Duquesne will look for three on their opening drive.
Good job by Joe Johnson on the outside there. Man on an island, one-on-one, made the tackle, short of the yard to gain, and that's why Duquesne has to attempt the field goal with the wind at their back.
Austin Crimmins coming on here, 11 of 17 so far on the season. This will be a 33-yard field goal within his range. He's got a long of 47. Low snap, great hold, kick is up, and it is good. Give a lot of credit that time to Aaron Fleck. As Duquesne gets themselves on the scoreboard, make it 3-0. 10:58 to go in the first quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. You're listening to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network.
Today's broadcast brought to you in part by our friends from the New Jersey Education Association, the NJEA. They work to make public schools great for every child.
33-yard field goal gets Duquesne on the scoreboard. Make it 3-0. Another high end-over-end kick in the back part of the end zone will come out for a touchback as Crimmins taking advantage of the wind behind him. Monmouth will get it here at their own 25-yard line. 10:58 to go in the first quarter. Duquesne 3 and Monmouth nothing.
That was unintended.
Confetti situation up here.
Having a party. Having a party in the press box. It's the last football game. I'm going to miss talking to Matt, except when I see him on our next football broadcast. our basketball broadcast.
That drive, seven plays, 48 yards, 2 minutes and 29 seconds off the clock. Here's Hill back to work. Play action to Asante in the flat for McLafferty, who drops the football. Don't see that happen very often. Play was a little awkward to start, and Hill kind of re-throws it in the air. Don't think he liked what he had on that one, but it will make it second and 10.
Monmouth this quarter, Matt, moving into the wind. It'll be tough to throw the football. Duquesne leading 3-0 already. Keep an eye on that this afternoon, as it's not terribly cold, but when that wind picks up, it really changes things.
Davenport, near side wide receiver. Here's the give to Asante. Such a hard runner. Just pounds through the line and picks up about 6 to the 31-yard line. KB, we mentioned, coming in 951 yards with that 6-yard carry at 957. It's not about individual accolades, but would sure like to see him get over that 1,000-yard mark here today.
And I think, Matt, maybe that's why we see him a little earlier than we normally will. He normally comes in that third or fourth series here, coming in series two, and you got to know the coaches probably have that in the back of their minds as well.
Sumlin and Sterling split this time. Slot receiver combo off to the right. McLafferty has a stand-up tight end to the left. Hill wants a throw. Here comes some pressure. Dumps it in the flat. Good spin move by McLafferty, who makes the catch at the 34, and with the spin gets to the 36-yard line. That is a first down for MU, and that might be the passing game that we see here today in the first quarter, certainly with the Monmouth going into the wind, those short little dump-off type passes.
You remember Hill's first completion of the day was a screen to Sterling. That one, little short pass to McLafferty, and I agree with you. When Monmouth's going into the wind, that's what you may see. Then maybe with it at their back, they go vertical.
Double tight end set. Zach Fable in off to the right. McLafferty to the left. Davenport, Sterling split the field as well. Here's Hill on first down and 10, giving to Asante. Hunt, KB off to the races. At midfield, gets to the 45, now to the 40, 35, 30, and down at the 29-yard line. KB Asante with a big run. That one getting him a little bit closer to that 1,000-yard mark, and also, more importantly, putting Monmouth in scoring position. They spotted at the 28, and KB with a good, solid run.
Johnston and Patterson clearing a big hole up that left side, and he's able to surge for good yardage. Matt, maybe next time break it to the wide side of the field. He could have probably taken it in for a touchdown.
Unofficially about a 35-yard gain that time for Asante. Monmouth gets it at the Duquesne 28-yard line, looking for their first points of the day. Hill smacks the hands together, gives it to Asante again, and a tough go of things up the middle. We'll take it to the 31-yard line for a gain of just about two. Zach Zidian, the defensive tackle slash nose man, closing the play down quickly. Reggie Island coming in to help make the tackle as well.
That time Duquesne was locked in on Monmouth running the football again. Crashing in from the outside was Whalen, one of these many transfers on the roster. And that time they were ready for KB, as now Matt, Monmouth counters with an extra wide receiver.
Sumlin checks into the game. Slot off to the right with Sterling. Davenport near sideline to the left. Hill wants to throw. Looking over the seam for McLafferty. Threw him a bit behind him. And a couple of times today, McLafferty has had his hands on it. Can't haul it in. Make it third down and 8. But put that one a little bit more on the quarterback.
Yeah, that one's on Brandon. It was high and behind McLafferty, which is the quarterback and receiver's worst nightmare, because then Mike did well just to get a hand on it. The problem, the ball went straight up in the air, and Monmouth was fortunate that it wasn't intercepted.
Duquesne with just a three-man rush on that last play. They will bring some linebackers. Dorian Bell, who we talked about as the NAC's top defender, has not checked back into the game after the ankle injury. Jailbreak blitz here. Hill in major trouble and will get sacked. Taken down by Christian Kuntz right around the 36-yard line. That's a costly sack, because it maybe takes Monmouth out of field goal range as well. And the offense will come back on here. This is four down territory at the 36-yard line. Too long to kick a field goal, and certainly too short to punt it away.
Yeah, really nothing that Brandon could do there. Pressure right in his face. He really didn't even, Matt, have time to throw it away. But maybe Monmouth goes quick kick here with Brandon Hill.
And it looks like that's exactly what they're setting up to do. We've seen Hill do this on a couple of occasions, except this time he pops it up in the air. Maybe it takes a Monmouth roll here, and it does. Decent roll on what was an ugly kick off of his foot down to about the 12-yard line. Unless they're going to say it was touched a little bit earlier. The official has just walked his way up to the 21-yard line.
I think it may have hit, Matt, one of the Monmouth up men. It looked like even one of the linemen. They're going to rule that that was touched at the 21. So I think that goes now as, what, a 15-yard punt? Tough day. Brandon put it right up into the wind, almost like hitting a wedge shot in golf. And then you throw it up in the air and let the wind do with it what it wants to. Monmouth unlucky there because it did hit the lineman before it took that fortunate MU roll.
Jason Douglas, number 12, the backup running back, has checked in here at a four wide receiver set for Bekele. Across the formation is Kyle Schumann, H-back now that side. This is the give to Douglas up the middle. Gets to the 25-yard line for a gain of four. Stopped and taken down by Jerzynski and Sikowski.
I know you talked about it, Matt, before the game. A lot going on today on campus. Senior Day, as you've mentioned. We also, it's Hall of Fame Day. We're honoring the class, as well as Military Appreciation Day. Nice full afternoon. Hopefully the football team comes out, gets a stop here, and gives them what they want to see.
Tight end and a tight slot receiver combo off to the left side. Single receiver back to the right. This is another good carry up the middle. This time, again, it's Jason Douglas to get it. He'll break the plane to the 35, get to the 37-yard line, and it will be a first down for Duquesne.
Douglas has the team's longest run of the season, a 47-yarder earlier. He has inconsistent numbers, Matt, but a lot of potential and a lot of good speed for this Duquesne team.
5'6", 175 pounds from down in Florida. Went to Fullerton College before transferring in here to Duquesne. On first and 10 from their own 37-yard line, Duquesne with a split wide receiver set. Play action. Bekele looking to go downtown. Wants a man's got him. The catch is made by Devin Romming inside the 15-yard line at the 14. Beats the double coverage of Sutton and Brandon, and the Dukes knocking on the door.
That play set up two ways. One, again, Duquesne, the wind at their back, they're going to test Monmouth vertically. Two, because they're running the football so well, the play action was there. They froze the linebackers, and then credit Bekele with a picture-perfect throw over the shoulder of Romming.
4-3 alignment here for MU. The linebackers, Demersion, Onakuzi, and Sikowski. Monmouth trying to tighten down here, maybe force a field goal again. Play action again. And over the middle again. It's a touchdown. This time for Devin Romming, who hauls it in. Good drive for him. Just set it up with a long touchdown, with a long play to set up the touchdown reception. His third of the year. And Duquesne now up by a score of 9-0 with 6:05 to go in the first quarter.
So just like the play before, play action set the whole thing up. Tevron Brandon was beat on the outside as Romming took inside technique, and he was all alone in the end zone for the game's first touchdown.
Here's Austin Crimmins on for the extra point. Monmouth digging themselves an early first quarter hole. Good snap, good hold again by Pikarski, and this one is up, and it is good. Make it 10-0 in favor of Duquesne. 6:05 to go in the opening quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Monmouth football right after this on the Shore Sports Network.
And we welcome you back to Kessler Field. Monmouth trailing Duquesne 10-0. And while we have a minute, we'd like to remind you that for all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the Asbury Park Press by visiting app.com/subscribe.
That last drive, four plays, 79 yards, took off a minute 37 on the clock. Devin Romming catching the pass from Dylan Bekele from 14 yards out. It was a long reception as well from Romming and Bekele that made that connection. Again, the ball falling off the tee a couple of times now, so Brian Palmer will come over and hold on to it for Crimmins, who will kick off. Going back deep, Tevron Brandon and LaVon Chaney. Monmouth needing a little bit of a spark here. Let's see if Crimmins hangs one in the air and gives someone a returnable kick. High end-over-end job. Brandon will field it at his 3-yard line. Running across the field to the right side hash mark at the 20, 25. Gets to the 30. Running out of space and pushed out of bounds about the 30-yard line, where it will be first down and 10 for Monmouth. Hawks right now trailing 10-0, 5:55 to go in quarter number one. MU bringing the offense back on for the third time today.
Matt, Monmouth down 10-0. We saw the offense struggle in a couple of games earlier this season in this kind of spot. Now's when they need a play. They need to get on the scoreboard, especially with the time that it is. You're going to get the wind in the second quarter, but now put a drive together and lean on your running game.
Three wide receiver set. McLafferty into the game as well. He's always a receiving option. Here's Hayes getting it. Bouncing to the outside. 35-40. Gets to the 45-yard line. Taken down around the 47. That'll be a 17-yard pickup for Julian Hayes. Gets the offense a first down and a little more breathing room.
I like when they listen. I like when I see that, because now you have to know it's not an easy day throwing it. You've got two great backs. We saw Asante a couple of big runs early. Now Hayes can get himself rolling.
Hayes will stay in single back. Fable and McLafferty with a two tight end set. Elijah Phillips, Neil Sterling up top in a receiver combo off to the right side of the formation. Now McLafferty will go as a stand-up tight end formation left. Hill wants to throw. Here comes some pressure. Hangs in the pocket, looking down the middle for McLafferty. This one overthrown a little bit, trying to fit one in between Pikarski and Johnson. And McLafferty remains down on the field. Took a pretty good shot and got sandwiched in between two players. It'll be second and 10.
Tough route, and Matt, it really wasn't open. Not sure why Brandon Hill decided to throw that football as McLafferty's still down. He was hampered with injuries earlier this season, and I know that we said this game 1, 2, and 3, not sure why it's as big a problem in game 12, but Brandon Hill, and as good as his numbers look, and he's played well in stretches, he's not very good right now at going to receiver 2, 3, and 4 in a pass route. He locked in on McLafferty as soon as he broke the line of scrimmage. It allowed the Duquesne coverage to shift a safety over, and that's the reason that ball was late and behind the receiver. Big hit that Mike had to take, but he needs to get better moving forward, especially next season in the Big South, at locating open receivers that aren't his primary on routes.
McLafferty still being tended to right now by the training staff of Monmouth. Why don't we step out here and take a 30-second timeout. We'll come back right after this. 5:18 to go. First quarter, Duquesne 10, Monmouth nothing. We're back right after this with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network. Mike McLafferty able to walk off under his own power, visibly shaken, however. It will be second down and 10. We'll try and check in on his condition as the game goes off here. Hayes will get the carry. Flags are out. And Hayes able to get it to midfield. Not much more than that on a 3-yard pickup. Let's check the infraction. Came pretty much with a snap of the football. So either procedure on Monmouth or offsides against Duquesne. Headlinesman will come in and talk things over with the referee. Our crew today, Larry Saunders, the referee. The umpire is Tim Glover. Brian Sikowski, the headlineman. Peter Beretta, the side judge. Brian Fleming, the line judge. Monmouth with an illegal formation. Had five players in the backfield. Needs seven up on the line. Glenn Wilson, the field judge. Connor Clockerty is the back judge. And the play clock operator, John Gallagher.
Monmouth getting off schedule here. Formation penalty. That drives coaches crazy, too. It's one thing to be off sides or a false start, but when you line up the wrong way, it's extremely frustrating, as now Monmouth has it second and 15.
Second and 15 from back of their own 42-yard line. Duquesne showing pressure, and here they come. Hawks pick it up. Someone's got to be open. Fable had his jersey grabbed. No flags will fly out. The coverage by Rich Pikarski, the free safety. So an incompletion will now put Monmouth in a third down and long situation. 4:46 to go here in the first quarter. Another flag was thrown after the football was thrown. Duquesne saying it's against Monmouth, likely a hold, and it is. Josh Patterson getting targed with that one. That is a 10-yard penalty, so Monmouth going in the wrong direction here. Make it now second down and long as MU will get the down over, but back at their own 32-yard line, they're staring at second and 25.
And just shows you how quickly plays can change. We saw Fable's jersey grabbed on the pass route. That's not the penalty that was found. Instead, they get Patterson for one. So now, way off schedule, second and 25.
Duquesne rushing four. Here's Hayes on a second down carry into the Monmouth sideline. We'll get to the 39-yard line to pick up about seven. So it'll be third down and 18 coming up here. MU will leave a four wide receiver set on the field. Sumlin and Phillips on one side. Thaddeus Richards and Neil Sterling on the other. They continue to kind of work on McLafferty in the training area. Some kind of holding his back. Not sure if he just took, you know, one of those weird hard shots, but I'm sure he'll try and shake it off. Everybody standing up on the line. Hayes here on third down and long. Gets to the 40-yard line for a gain of only about a yard, maybe a yard and a half. And with 4 minutes remaining in the first quarter, the Monmouth offense a little sluggish here to start. They'll have to bring on the punt team. This time it will be Eric Spillane trying to hang this one up in the air.
You know, Matt, last week Monmouth looked great against Bryant. They had 21 points early in that game. And then offensively, they did nothing in the second half. And unfortunately, they've begun the game today like they ended it last week. They were able to hang on and win against the Bulldogs down 10-0 here.
Here comes pressure, and Spillane loses the football. It's picked up by Duquesne. Spillane is down. There is a flag that is out. Spillane right now face down into the turf around the 28-yard line. It was picked up by Duquesne, and the Dukes took it down inside the 20, got to about the 17-yard line. So let's wait and check the penalty. It'll be an illegal procedure penalty against Monmouth. Duquesne will obviously decline that, and it will be Duke's football.
And we get the benefit of replay in our booth today because the Hawkvision broadcast and our friend Gab is with us. So we get it on a little bit of a delay, which acts as a replay for us. So we'll be able to see exactly how Monmouth gave up this block punt. It will be Duquesne football inside the 25-yard line, the 20-yard line for Monmouth. And Matt, they just came right up the gut. There were four guys who could have got that one. The protection issues continue. Eric Spillane took way too long to get that football off, and that's why it was blocked.
I believe it was Brian Palmer who was able to pick up the football. And now Duquesne again right back in business. They have it inside the Monmouth 20-yard line, first and 10 from the MU 17. Draw play. It's Douglas, the shifty little runner. Gets down inside the 20, inside the 15, and down to the 12-yard line, where it will be second down and just about five after a five-yard pickup. Has not been a good first quarter so far here for Monmouth. Spillane now in a lot of pain. He's on the training table, and you hate to see that. Both of those guys introduced among the 16 before the game as seniors playing for their final time here in the blue and white. Beekle will split the backfield this time around. Man in motion across the formation is Romming. He will go as a wing right now to the right. And now Beekle will put him off to the left side of the formation. Play clock winding down to five. Into the game and getting the football, Ethan Dorsey, the fullback. He'll look to pound it down off the right side. Get to the 10-yard line for a gain of just about three. Make it second down here and a long two.
Matt, I know we went over some of the series history earlier. Monmouth beat this Duquesne team a thrilling 28-27 win last year, but the Dukes like Kessler Field. Last time they were here, on the worst weather day I've ever seen, they beat Monmouth 16-0. Starting good today on a really cold and windy one, already up 10-0 in the first quarter.
Kyle Schumann, tight end to the right side of the formation. Two receivers off to the left. Again, a split back formation for Vekul. On third down, let's call it three. Beekle wants to throw. Looks at the outside. That ball uncatchable for Devin Romming. Got a hand on it, but was out of range. And on what will now be fourth down and three, the field goal team coming back on for the Dukes. 2:04 to go in the first quarter.
So chalk that one up to a Monmouth win. The defense holds Duquesne to a field goal opportunity after their special teams, which unfortunately they've done it more than we'd like to see. They put the defense in a bad spot, but they come through and force the field goal attempt.
Austin Crimmins on for this time will be a 27-yard field goal. The long snapper, Brett Calvin. Rick Pikarski is the holder. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, drifting off to the left, but it is good. So a couple of field goals here for Crimmins in the first quarter, giving Duquesne now a 13-0 lead. 1:57 to go in the opening quarter. We're back right after this with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network. Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti here from Kessler Field for the final time this year. Just the fourth home game of the season. Monmouth with kind of a weird schedule working this year as an independent. Eight road games, four home games. Monmouth 2-1 so far in their first three with wins over Cornell and Robert Morris and a loss earlier the season to Lehigh. Right now the Hawks trying to get themselves back on track with 1:57 to go in the opening quarter. It is 13-0 Duquesne. Here is Crimmins putting this one high and deep. Brandon will bring it out from a yard out of his own end zone. Getting out to the 25, now to the 30. Shimmies his way forward out over the 35 and getting close to the 38-yard line where it'll be first down and 10 for MU. Good return. Let's see if that kind of sparks the offense here a little bit for Monmouth. They've been slow so far on the day. The numbers would indicate the same. Three first downs, 14 total plays for 70 yards, and they have punted the football already three times. The latest of which just resulted in a 27-yard field goal for Crimmins, his second three-pointer of the day. Brandon Hill will have Morrow and Asante in the backfield with him. Offset to the right side, tight end right, split wide receiver set. Here is the give to Asante off the right side, stacked up with the line of scrimmage and dropped for no gain. Give credit that time to Christian Kuntz, the outside linebacker, for closing the play down. A bit of good news in what has been a tough first quarter. Mike McLafferty is back into the football game here for Monmouth. McLafferty shaken up on the last offensive drive, but seeming to be okay here. Eric Spillane also back up and walking around a little bit. Here's Hill, now on second down and 10. Monmouth again off schedule a little bit. Here comes the pressure. Hill hanging in the pocket, finding Neil Sterling. Close to the first down marker, but about a yard away, out to the 47-yard line. Sterling sliding down there and making his 51st catch of the season.
A little short of the yard to gain. Neil lost his footing right before the marker. Monmouth might keep it on the ground here, most likely pick it up with under 1 minute to go in the first quarter.
Well, you would think Duquesne is going to stack the box here. Monmouth certainly on third and one, normally a running type team. Asante, the tailback, he will get it. Looking for the first down, lowers the shoulder, he will have it. Forward progress will get him out close to midfield. And the chains will move here. Monmouth doesn't have to snap it again in the first quarter. Play clock has been, is running, but it's over the game clock. MU getting right back to the line here on first and 10 at midfield.
Don't run a play. You get the wind at your back.
They will run a play. Asante will get it off the left side, and he will get it into Duquesne territory at the 48-yard line. Actually continue to move forward. Referees have already spotted the football, and then out of the bottom of the pile, Asante gets nine on that first down carry. Make it second and one. Strange play to finish up the first quarter. Monmouth hoping for better success here off that 9-yard play for Asante. Second and one when we come back. 13 to nothing. Duquesne leads. We're back in 60 seconds with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network.